Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
A los ángeles del cielo te pareces en lo lindo y en lo hermoso.
Hey, 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 everybody. It is time for your Browns Friday Fumble.
Fall on it.
Don't try to pick it up and run. My name is Dave.
I am Dylan.
And it is a Friday, and we've just encountered a victory, making it yet another victory Friday, third of the year, 3-1. Dylan, big win.
They're stacking up.
Yeah. Give me your thoughts on this big win.
Well, Dave, I'm happy about it, you know. Happy to have a classic score for a change.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 14-7, classic score.
That's a classic score. Like, if you're working for a sitcom, like in the writer's room, you don't really watch a lot of football, but you need to come up with a football score, 14-7 is one that you put in that script.
That's the one. Well, I mean, not only that, but, Dave, I'm tired of all these newfangled high-scoring games.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer the classic gridiron, you know? Battles,
yeah.
three yards in a cloud of dust, you know, punts.
I mean, these new rules, they basically just took the defense out of it.
Yeah,
completely.
They took the teeth right out of that defense.
Right. They can't hit anybody.
No.
They can't sack anybody.
Nope.
They can't break anybody's fingers on the line or in the scrum.
Yeah, I mean, you know? In my day, you were scratching and clawing down in there. You could go
can't
low
do it anymore.
You could go low. Now you can't do that. Can't go high because they'll call you for helmet to helmet. Can't go low. They'll call you for helmet to knee. What are you supposed to do? Midsection? What's the fun in midsection?
Yeah, go for the belly, I guess. I mean,
I guess just kind of hit the midsection.
Well, anyway, that's how we're ending up with all these 50, 60, 70-point games.
Yeah, I like the 14-7, and I'm glad we came out on top. I went onto Twitter for about 2 minutes after the game and then turned that off.
Oh, yeah.
But the one thing I did see that, you know, a lot of people talking about that I finally did agree with is, you know, the defense as a unit put together a second impressive performance in a week. You know what?
But I think I know where you're going here.
But Myles Garrett, I mean, if you look, I take a look at this here. Take a look at this graph. Look at his Myles Garrett's numbers. Look at the downward
God, it's like
trajectory.
A cliff.
Yeah.
It's like he fell off a cliff.
He seemed to be riding so high a week ago, and then now, ugh.
Jeez, this is concerning.
I mean, a lot of people have the Browns pegged as buyers at the deadline, but you ask me, if you could pick up a third or a fourth for Miles around the deadline and avoid paying him that salary on his monster deal, I think you got to do it. I mean, like, for the future, I just don't know.
Look, these guys, hopefully we can trust in these analytics guys to look at the numbers and realize that they do not lie.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's on pace to have -2 sacks next week. That's 2 sacks.
God, can you imagine?
And I don't know if you guys know what these sacks, a negative sack is when you get to the quarterback and then instead of tackling for a loss, you pick him up and move him a few yards
forward.
Past the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
So look forward to that on some third downs.
Yeah, I guess that's what we got in store for us.
Okay, Dylan, we also had a little issue where it seemed like the Browns were dominating the game. It seemed like that despite the close nature of the score, that the Vikings never really in it. And
right.
And I wondered, you told me you think you knew why. Could you let me know? I mean, I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, so this is actually just a little insider bit of information that I got from a couple of guys running around Berea. Apparently, what was going on this week was actually Stefanski was going for achievements.
Oh, that makes sense.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So first one they achieved and got was have one running back achieve 100 rushing yards exactly on the nose.
Yeah, that's why in the fourth quarter he picked up that last 3 yards and then they pulled him. Like, they were done.
Right. He was gone immediately. Stefanski knew he heard the little notification in his headset that they had achieved that achievement, and any more yards, it's gone.
Yeah.
So
So that explains the overthrows, right? Because one of them was to overthrow three different receivers on touchdown routes three times. And yep. You know what? You think, why would you ever do that? Well, that's why you get so much XP for it, because you could have had three touchdowns there. But instead, he tells Baker, hey, the first one was Baker's mistake. Baker admitted it in the press conference.
Right.
That was his mistake. But then it's like one of those things. You get that in there, and Stefanski says, well, wait a minute, Baker. I mean, we can unlock 15,000 EXP if you can do that two more times. And he's like, I'll talk to OBJ.
This is what makes him coach of the year.
Yeah, he's thinking not just about the score. He knew the game was in hand. He knew that despite Myles Garrett's poor performance, they were really, really dominating the game. And he's like, let's take a chance on it.
He used to live there, Dave. He was a Viking.
He's
a Viking.
Yeah.
He's a former, you know. And then we talked about this one already, but the completing, and we've seen this one a bunch of times, complete a classic football score, 14-7, or the like, with two or more field goals, which is a little harder to do.
Yeah, it required that two-point conversion, and it's, again.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling how far ahead Stefanski is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all in all, these three achievements that we earned actually got Stefanski a total of 28,000 XP on the week, which, I mean, that's the most I've seen in quite some time. But I think what he's looking at is, I think it's enough to upgrade either the practice facility turf to a color of his choice, which hopefully, you know, it's orange.
Yeah.
That's
going to look badass.
Or he can unlock the brown pants, which
I've heard they were going to try to wear those this week, so I hope they do.
So sort of on along those lines, Dave, we wanted to look into, I mean, obviously, you know, Myles Garrett, poor performance.
Yeah, we
Baker
talked
Mayfield,
about it.
Baker Mayfield, I mean, we've been harping on this guy for a couple weeks now. Just absolute horrendous numbers. And so we wanted to, you know, how did we win this game? So here are 10 reasons the Browns won despite Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield being absolutely horrendous.
Both of
players.
Whom just garbage. Number 10, Jarvis Landry, pregame speech. We all know how we get just amped up when Jarvis talks. We're all familiar with the timber of his speech. There's nothing in the world that can stand in the way of a victory once you get all juiced up. And that's, I think OBJ was wearing the shirt. I mean,
yeah,
it's just, it's juice, man. It's just juice.
Nine, they had a little team building excursion out to the Mall America down there in Bloomington on Saturday night. You know, it was lots of fun, I hear. Coach actually covered everybody's Menchies, which, I mean, Dave, I know you're familiar with Menchie's. That bill probably got pretty high.
Oh, when the offensive line goes up there to where the syrups are.
Jeez.
I mean, you could put as many Fruit Loops on there as you want, but those syrups add weight. And that's
exactly.
Where they, I mean, not to sound like too much of a dad, but that's where they get you. those syrups. You know, I don't want to get too anatomical on here. Okay. You guys see Nick Chubb's calves? Holy guacamole.
So, number seven, Grant Delp had actually won the NFL on Fox Win Terry's Money giveaway. You've seen this?
Yeah.
It's $100,000 that I guess Terry Bradshaw's giving away every week.
His anyway, own money.
Grant Delpit actually won it and got, you know, bringing home that kind of haul, that's going to fire anybody up.
Well, yeah, especially you could play loose knowing that you could get fired and you still got 100 G's coming your way, you know?
Exactly.
Number six, I know everybody's kind of going nuts over the defense, and it looks like they're finally gelling, but we actually need to call out the gel that they're using, and that's LA Looks Extreme Hold, and you can't argue with those results.
Okay, Dave, I think number five, we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up how much of a shitty representation the Minnesota Vikings are for their namesake. I mean, just those old Vikings, Dave, the real ones, those guys won a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys would basically just sail over, do some real sneaky like RPO and play action stuff, ram it right down your throat with a great ground game. I mean, break open your sternum with their axe. Uh-huh. And then these guys, they'd finish with a crazy-ass celebration, sacrifices, and all sorts of stuff to their pagan gods in the end zone, man.
Yeah, that was pre-taunting penalties.
Right. I mean, these guys knew how to win. Not like these modern snowflake Viking, whatever we saw on the
facsimile of a Viking.
Right. Dave, Kirk Cousins, this guy would never survive in 8th century Northumbria.
Nope.
I'll tell you that much.
That's for sure. Number four, look, I'm no doctor. You know that, Dylan. I tried to get away with it for a while. But I feel like I have to mention Nick Chubb's posterior chain. I mean, you agree with me. That thing's tuned up, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Holy guacamole.
Number three, Dave. Case Keenum. This guy was ready to jump in at any moment, drop of a hat.
Yep.
This guy has what it takes. I mean, real leaders, Dave, they can win games from the sidelines.
In a hat.
And we saw that.
In a hat.
I mean, hopefully Stefanski figures out he's got QB1 standing right next to him, you know, sooner rather than later.
Let's hope. Number two, seriously, though, Nick Chubb's quads. I mean, has this guy ever been called down on first contact? Like, I don't think he has. I mean... This isn't even mentioning Kareem. Like, I mean, this guy is like a tractor trailer running through a cornfield, Dylan. And I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Holy guacamole.
Finally, Dave, the number one reason these Browns won despite Baker Mayfield and Myles Garrett. One word, Dave. Janovich.
Time for a little bit of Browns news. This week brought to you by www.newgrounds.com/snipergames/brownsnews.html. Your source for all the best Browns sniper games and news. You know what, guys? We heard a lot of talk. I mean, we're in and out of Twitter a little bit. We heard a lot of talk this week about certain people. Maybe their name rhymes with fake turns, going on fancy radio shows and all that. But we didn't want to brag about this because we knew you already heard it because you guys have SiriusXM premium package with Howard 100. Yeah, we were on Stern this week, all week. Like, they had us in as guests. I mean, Dylan said Baba Booey like at least four times. We heard a lot of they didn't really have us around for the interview parts, but they had us around where like the back staff like talks about bars they went to and stuff, which is your favorite. It's my favorite part. Is that your favorite part of the show?
Oh, for sure. Well, they didn't want us stepping on, you know, Howard's.
Yeah. Thing, yeah. If all of a sudden I'm talking to Bradley Cooper instead of Howard, then like Howard looks bad and, you know, it's kind of bad from there. But so we did
not
we,
look not to not to tell tales out of school, but.
You know, Howard was so nice and Robin, so nice. And the high pitched Eric guy, pretty nice. Anyway, yeah, so we did that. So, you know, whatever you guys did, that's fine. But we do have some news. I mean, you saw us covering some of the press conferences on our Twitter at Friday Fumble. I think you guys should follow that if you really want some of the news. And, you know, the big news.
Some of the real news.
Yeah. The big news we all heard is Baker's injury. It came out that he's got a torn labrum, which, again, in the previous segment, I attested to the fact that I'm not a doctor. But I do have Google, and the labrum is part of the limbic system, which, as you know, it functions to facilitate memory storage and retrieval, establish emotional states, and link the conscious intellectual functions of the cerebral cortex with the unconscious autonomic functions of the brainstem. So having a tear in your labrum at this part of the season, it means you overreact to petty problems, have trouble remembering the play calls, and during plays you forget to breathe.
Yeah, I mean, this is really serious stuff, but honestly, Dave, I mean, and I hate to take it to this place, you know, prayers for this guy. But the big takeaway here, Dave, even though Baker has always been a super accurate quarterback, he's had a few games where he hasn't been accurate, and it doesn't take a Jake Burns type to know that this problem is now permanent.
It's permanent.
And this accuracy issue is never going to go away, even if the injury heals fully and all that.
Yeah.
Honestly, at this point, there's no way we can replenish this guy's contract. We can't line up the Brinks truck for this guy. There's just too many franchise quarterbacks out there languishing, frankly.
Yeah.
On the market,
tons.
I mean, these guys would just take the team to the next level.
It's obviously a little bit rude, even for Baker to kind of stand in the way of this, because he says he's a team first guy. But you know, let's take a look. We've compiled another list. This is a pretty list heavy episode, I'm going to warn you.
Well, it needs to be.
Yeah. But so number one. And we learned this about Browns fans when we faced the Bears and Justin Fields, when we faced the Berenstain Bears. Former Ohio State products are going to go well in Cleveland. So how about former Washington Sentinel and the Ohio State of University graduate Shane Falco? He led the Scab Sentinels to the playoffs under Gene Hackman. He had a few struggles, but you know what? Even more than Baker, he's all about wanting it more, putting in the work, putting in the effort. So, I mean, and he could be the guy to take us over the top.
That's the type of guy you want in the locker room, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Callahan, just jumping right off the page here. Sure, yeah. This guy, look, he flamed out in Seattle, but we think that's mostly because of their offensive system. I mean, come on. You know, Pete. I think with the right protection, though, which we have.
We've got the line.
This guy could absolutely thrive.
Yeah.
For years to come.
Yeah. And another one, I mean, he performed in college, Joe Kane. He had a few issues at ESU. You know, there were some donor allegations, and he got in that DUI incident. But you know what? He got him back to a bowl game. He played well for James Caan. After dealing with a lot of that childhood drama, his father wasn't great, and he can still move the pocket pretty well, and his deep ball accuracy will keep, you know, the Browns running game going strong.
Yeah, we're talking about guys that played under Gene Hackman and James Caan. Like, these are, come on, echelons.
Yeah.
Dave, Uncle Rico, big arm, throw a damn football over those mountains.
All right, let's take a look. Score predictions have been wildly erratic, especially from my side of the fence. Dylan, yours have been all over the place, too. This one could be a little bit of a different story out there. The Browns' defense is solid. The Los Angeles Chargers. That's weird. That's a little cuties. Strange, but they got a defense going. They got, you know, we'll go over the roster because it's an uncommon opponent this week. But, you know, I see a low scoring affair, Dylan. I hate to say we're going to go classic football score again, but I think we're going to go 17-10 Browns. Classic football score.
Oh, man. That 17-10
is Browns.
That is classic. A couple of field goals, a couple of touchdowns, huh?
Yep. Touchdowns are going to be hard to come by, my friend. Hard to come by.
Dave, I got to say, man, those Los Angeles Chargers, they're just cute. They're adorable.
They are, with the powder blue. Reminds you a little pair of children's underwear.
Little buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go 26-17 Browns. I know that I've been all over the place this year, and I just, you know, I got to do it again for you guys. I just see a really good offensive production this week. We did it last week without even really trying, and now we're going to try. So
we're going to try.
Hey, this is Hugh Jackson, and now it is time to know your foe. Back to you, Dave and Dalen.
All right, let's take a look at this roster from the Los Angeles Cutie Patooties. They're just adorable in their little...
our little buddies, aren't they?
They even play in the Softy Stadium. And you know what? It's got a roof, but that's not an indoor stadium, I guess. They let the breeze flow through there, through the screens, yep. I guess. Something like
it's
that.
It's super nice.
It's just super nice down there.
These fellas.
Anyway, let's take a look. Left tackle, AC's son, Rashawn Slater.
Wide receiver, Jay Len. Guy Tun? Yeah, Jalen Guy Tun. That's him.
One of the cleverest hobbits in the Tookland, Trey Pipkins III.
At left guard, that Matt feller.
Corey Linsley, he won't let go.
Things you say when you have a cold. Ode Abushi.
At right tackle, car wash Storm Norton.
Jazz guitarist Michael Schofield III.
Lovable 3D jumper Justin Kubert.
A Texan stand-up comedian's worst nightmare, an Austin heckler.
Arnold's brother, Joshua Palmer.
Serena's brother, Mike Williams.
Hank's brother, KJ Hill.
And Lonnie's brother, Steven Anderson.
Dane's brother, Jared Cook.
Country singer, Justin Jackson.
Hey, you want this Louisville Slugger? Nope. Give me my Easton Stick.
And finally, Gabe Neighbors.
Now on the defense, starting out with Chris Rumpfshaker.
Hold on. Before we go, I got to stop at the Eric Banks.
Nasser, you're making a huge mess. Nasser, could you please keep it more Adderley?
Still on the Chargers, English nobleman Christian Covington.
Fish, Kyler Mackerel.
Who turned on this loud music? Drew? Oh, man, Drew. Tranquil.
Hawaiian safety that means both strong and free safety, Aloha Gilman.
Oh, man, I'm so lost. It's my first day of college. Excuse me, do you know where Keeman Hall is?
Swimmer pointing to his bloody leg. Nick, knee man.
Gina's brother, Michael Davis.
Nick's brother, Joey Bosa.
Jaleel's brother, Kaiser White.
Calvin's brother, Chris Harris.
Asante's son, Asante Samuel.
Sarah's brother, Trey Marshall.
Wayne's brother, Tavon Campbell.
Sorry, I'm not home. I'm out walking into Mark Webb. All right, guys. I don't know if you saw our Instagram and Twitter this week. Baker Mayfield posted a little special message to us. He's a big fan of the show. I guess, you know, I could read it and or I could cut to the chase. You know what? I think I'm just going to read it, what Baker said about us. It was very nice.
Yeah, I would.
You know what? It was very nice. So Baker said, ever since Dave and Dalen started, I wanted to be a Brown so I could be part of the best podcast in Cleveland. Because, you know, Dylan, remember, we've been doing this for so fucking long that Baker Mayfield was in college for a lot of our podcast. Anyway, sorry. Getting drafted here was a dream come true. You remember the one time they did a whole pretend Tampa radio show? I do remember that. He says, that was awesome. I'll be in Cleveland as long as the Friday fumble keeps going, and I hope they bring back the Baker's Dozen segment. So good. And so, you know what? Let's bring it back. You guys are familiar with Baker's?
Let's do it.
They do baked goods. They do donuts. They do muffins, cupcakes.
I mean, these guys wake up so stinking early.
I mean, they're probably waking up right about now. We haven't even gone to bed yet. That's how early they got to be up for the dough to rise. And, you know, if you buy a dozen donuts, they will often, at participating locations, mm-hmm. provide an extra bonus donut. And that is called a Baker's Dozen, where they give you an extra a donut to go with it. And so that's why we do a little list here of the top six things, because Baker's number is six. This week, we have chosen, based on our opponent, something that's close to Baker's heart. And hopefully, with our offensive line, he won't get to know this personally Sunday. But these are Baker's top six things that Joey Bosa smells like.
All right, coming in at number six, Dave. Manly soap that is only advertised on Instagram.
Oh, those are the worst. Number five, Kodiak Wintergreen Long Cut.
Definitely a Bosa smell.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, A1 Steak Sauce. Just ruining steaks.
Yep. Number three, Jimmy John's Salt and Vinegar Chips.
Number two, wing sauce that is, I mean, honestly, it's too hot to be flavorful. You know?
It's just kind of a dick move to even get it. And number one, the number one thing Baker Mayfield knows that Joey Bosa smells like, shit. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Friday Fumble this week. I'd like to thank Kerry Ryan for our ending theme. I'd like to thank Baker Mayfield for encouraging us to bring back the Baker's Dozen. Dylan, would you like to thank anyone?
Yes, Howard Stern for having
us
on all week.
Yeah, you know what?
Really nice.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Howard. It was kind of nice to do an in-residence thing. Follow us on Twitter, at Friday Fumble. We're going to be covering a lot more press conferences, giving you all the quotes that you need to know. And we'll see you next week for another episode of your Friday Fumble. My name is Dave.
And I'm Dylan.
And this has been your Browns Friday Fumble.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah. Fun.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.